Good afternoon. I'm glad to be here to share the results of some research we did in Thailand. There's a lot of different grasses that are used for lawns and sports turf in Thailand. And in this research, we looked at the three main turf grasses that are used for golf courses or for sports turf or for high-quality lawns in central Thailand. And we looked at it with an objective to see how do these grasses grow. The main grass that you'll find on lawns in central Thailand is a type of manila grass, Soysia metrella. The variety is called Nuan Noi, which is a Thai name. So this is the grass that you'll see in most of the areas. This is what you find at garden centers when you go to buy grass for your lawn. However, on golf courses or sports fields, sometimes you'll find some imported grasses or some other species. This is hybrid Bermuda grass, Cynodon dactylon, Transvalensis Tifway 419. And this is a grass that you'll see used, but it tends to get invaded by that manila grass, the Nuan Noi variety. You can also find seashore paspalum. This is on a soccer or football stadium on the northern edges of Bangkok. This is the Salam variety of seashore paspalum. But if you see down here in this corner of the field, you see these little patches of a different color. That's the Nuan Noi manila grass invading that field. So it's kind of interesting because in some other parts of the world, it's thought that Zoysia is a really slow-growing grass, especially Zoysia metrella. But we see in Thailand, it tends to perform a little bit differently. Sometimes we'll see all the grasses together. Here's some islands in the Gulf of Thailand in the background. This is at the Banyan Golf Club in Hua Hin. And here there's a seashore paspalum tea. Then everywhere else, the rough, the fairway is all Nuan Noi manila grass. And then the green is a type of hybrid Bermuda grass. But more common is to just see the Nuan Noi manila grass everywhere. This is a golf course near Bangkok, and it's the Nuan Noi manila grass growing everywhere, and then it has a hybrid Bermuda grass on the green. So these are the grasses that are used. In fact, this is a nursery production field of Nuan Noi manila grass just on the east side of Bangkok, where they're cutting up the old sod pieces, and then they'll actually break it by hand into little pieces and replant the field. Just to give you an idea of the region I'm talking about, here's Thailand, and central Thailand is the area around Bangkok. All the photos that I've shown and where the research is done are marked on this map in red triangles. This was the golf course where you could see the Gulf of Thailand in the background that had three different grasses. This was that first photo I showed, the farthest north, where it had the shrubs carved like elephants in the background. And we did the research right here at the Thailand Institute of Scientific and Technological Research, very near Klong Luang. So that's central Thailand. In our experiment, what we did is we planted four species. We took the Nuan Noi variety of manila grass, which is Zoysia metrella. We took the Tifway 419 variety of hybrid Bermuda grass, which is a cynodon, and we took the Salam variety of seashore paspalum, and we also took tropical carpet grass. Now, those first three grasses are commonly used, and you'll find them in areas that receive sunshine. They're not under tree shade. What you'll typically find is tropical carpet grass or Ixonopus compressus in that region will be growing anywhere where they're under any trees. However, I'm going to show you soon why we had to discard that one and didn't include it in this study. We planted them in June. This was in June of 2013. We planted them in June in a sand root zone and in pots. And this would be to simulate like a sports field root zone or a golf course fairway root zone because that region tends to be flat. And a lot of area is like rice paddy soil. When you're building any kind of sports turf that's going to be played on through the year, they tend to sand cap it. So even golf course fairways tend to be built of sand. We did 12 pots of each species, and then we grew them in for 168 days before we started the experimental treatments. 168 days is about 5.5 months. So we had a nice stand of turf in those pots to work with. Here it is after about a month, and you can see we have one grass that's really yellow. That's a pretty severe iron deficiency that we weren't able to correct on the tropical carpet grass. The other grasses were all fine, and they grew in really well from stolons. We planted them from stolons, but we were not able to correct that iron deficiency in the tropical carpet grass, so we dropped it from the study. However, that's an excellent opportunity for some future research. And then for the experiment, we ran it for 48 days, starting in November of 2013 into January of 2014. So 2013 to 2014. That's 7 weeks where we did six treatments and then six fertilizer treatments and then collected the clippings. So the treatments were fertilizer ratios. We did the same nitrogen rate, which was 1 gram of nitrogen from urea per week. We applied 1 gram of nitrogen per week to all the plots, and then we applied potassium as potassium chloride in ratios that would end up supplying a ratio with nitrogen of 2 to 1, nitrogen coming first. So we applied nitrogen at 1 gram, and the potassium was at 0.51 and at 2 grams. We did that because the seashore paspalum is known to have a high potassium requirement. Generally, it uses about the same amount of potassium as nitrogen. And the other grasses will use less potassium than nitrogen. So we wanted to see how do these grasses grow in general, and especially we wanted to look at it in how they responded to potassium fertilizer. We did irrigation of the individual pots to field capacity, so we weighed each pot before we put water. So we added just enough water, maybe it's a little bit less than field capacity, just enough to so that no water will drip from the pots, because we didn't want to leach anything out. So we knew how much water they used when they were filled to the point that we'd pre-weighed to know where how much water would be in the pots when they would drip. And then we also the irrigation was applied twice a week. And then the clippings were collected from a weekly trimming at 15 millimeters. That was done with scissors and then collecting the clippings. And then we did a nutrient analysis of the clippings. So we knew what the nutrient use was, and we also know how much the grass grew, and we also know how much water was used. So this is the pots during the experiment. This is in the middle of the experiment, about at week 4. This is what it looked like, which is similar to a golf course fairway or a low-cut sports field. The results now were interesting because it turned out that there's way more differences between the species than there is between the nitrogen to potassium ratio. So I show here a box plot of the cynodon, which is Bermuda grass, Paspalum, and Zoysia, which is the Nuanoi variety of Manila grass. And we're looking here at the average clipping harvest expressed on a per-day basis based on how much the clippings were over the entire duration of the experiment divided by the number of days in the experiment. So this is the total clipping yield divided by 48 to give us a daily amount. And each one of these points represents an individual pot, which is a different nitrogen to potassium ratio. So if we look at the pots that receive the least amount of potassium, that's the 2-to-1 ratio. So they received half a gram of potassium per square meter per week. They're green, so sometimes they're the lowest, but also here it's above the median. With seashore paspalum, that one's the highest, that one's the lowest, almost the highest for zoysia, the lowest for zoysia. So it's kind of all over the place with the potassium ratio. If we look at that again, here I isolate the potassium rate. So this is the lowest potassium rate, this is the medium, and this is the highest. And now the shapes are the species. So the circles are Bermuda grass. This is all the Bermuda grass is down here. The triangles are the paspalum. They're all right in the middle. And the squares are the zoysia, they're all across the top. So no matter what the potassium rate was, it's more of a species effect than it is a potassium effect. And here's a regression, species by species, across the potassium rates, and it's basically three flat lines. So if the added potassium was increasing the growth, we would expect that line to go up, but the lines are basically going flat. It was interesting also to look at the nitrogen content. Surprisingly, the zoysia on average had 2% nitrogen. The surprising part is that we had more yield with the grass that had the lowest nitrogen content. Bermuda grass was about 3% on average, and it had the lowest clipping yield. The paspalum was intermediate, and the zoysia had the highest yield and the lowest nitrogen content. For water use, this is the water use expressed as liters per square meter per day, and this was the dry clipping harvest in grams per square meter per day, and it goes up, so the more water that was used, the more clippings were produced. However, Bermuda clusters down here, and paspalum and the zoysia are both using about 3.25 millimeters, which is the same as liters per square meter. So they were both using about 3.25 millimeters of water per day. However, the zoysia was producing more yield than the paspalum was at that same water use. So it seems that this non-noy variety of Manila grass grows more per unit of nitrogen and water applied. And I think that helps to explain why in the region of central Thailand where these grasses are used, this tends to be the climax species or the dominant species on turf that is irrigated and mowed. This is an area at a park near Bangkok. This photo was taken in December of 2015. And there was two types of zoysia there. One was the non noy, which was right here. And then there was two types of Bermuda grass, one type of seashore paspalum, and one other type of slow-growing zoysia. And that's a variegated St. Augustine grass in the background there. What you find now, I was just out there last week, and the non noy variety of Manila grass, of zoysia, is well on its way to overtaking all of those areas in just a couple of years. So it's interesting, and this is some preliminary research that I'm really interested in doing more about, because I think using the grass that has the lowest, that produces the most biomass with the lowest inputs has a number of benefits and some good opportunities to create some great surfaces with minimal inputs. Thank you very much. I've got more information on my website if you like it. The method for determining total nitrogen, I don't know exactly. We had the samples sent to Brookside Laboratories and did a complete tissue analysis, and I don't know the method that they used there. Thank you.